This is a HeadGum Podcast.
On today's program, this is the last of some of the worst of 2016. It's a film, well, I never thought would exist, but boy, is my face red. Independence Day, Resurgence. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on HeadGum. That's right, everybody.
What are you talking about?
Be part of HeadGum, the HeadGum family. I like saying HeadGum, by the way. That sounds nice and sweet.
We were pretending we didn't know what it was. That was a bit we were trying to do. You just kind of steamrolled all
Well, you did it, and then no one else said anything. So I just, I steamrolled it for the good of the show.
Hey, chew on that.
Oh, and yet, bravo.
Speaking of chewy, we're home. We're on HeadGum now.
We are very happy to be joining this great stable of shows, and thanks to HeadGum for showing some interest, checking us out. And
it's true. And a Jink and Amir, all of it. It's true.
Good. Good God.
I think that is a non-fictional podcast. So
no, it is. Yeah, if I were you.
We were thinking of going to Cerebral Mint, but...
Cerebral Mint. Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, but we went to HeadGum. We wanted to chew on it.
And now we're off of HeadGum.
That's that. No, we're happy to be here. Now, I want the program. I can think of no better way to debut on HeadGum than talking about Independence Day Resurgence, first of all. Because what on earth are we fucking doing here with this movie existing?
Look, I'll be honest with you. If we were on the show, I would never talk about this movie to anyone.
It is embarrassing.
I watch a lot of movies. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. I was like, wait, why is any of this happening? Who are these white people?
But that's the script you're talking about, first and foremost.
It's one of the worst screenplays.
It's unbelievable.
It's so bad. And I'll tell you, if you had a Venn diagram and it was Independence Day 96 and Independence Day Resurgence 2016, it's almost just a purple circle with a red and blue circle going over each other. It's almost purple. It's the same movie.
But inside that Resurgence blue sliver,
It
looks like the chalkboard's in A Beautiful Mind. It's just cluttered to shit with all this stuff that nobody wanted.
Like
nobody
Brett Spiner's office.
It would be great if a lot of shit in this turned out to be imaginary. Like it was just Bill Pullman having his crazy dreams.
Oh, you know what?
The movie's so bad, just fake me out.
That's great.
Dude, and then it's twist ending, right? He just wakes up and like his daughter is just sitting there like, "You all right, Dad?" And he's like, "Oh, it's fine. I just thought they came back." And she's like, no, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Well, where's Dr. Oaken? Well, he's still in that coma, of course.
Oh, no, he's dead.
Yeah,
that's
actually better. Yeah, he's fucking long dead because he's definitely dead.
Wait, where are the tugs?
Oh, man, the
where are
tugs.
The tugs?
We're fucking tugging it all over this movie.
I had a dream that you weren't Mae Whitman, that you were Micah Monroe. That's really weird.
That would be awesome, actually, if it's a twist ending and you wake up and Mae Whitman is just sitting there.
Mae Whitman too old or something to be in this movie whatever.
I'll tell you what, too short to stand next to Thor's brother.
I guess
that's
so.
What that is.
Yeah, that's a
I
little,
would think so.
That's
we,
a little we... shitty, everybody. Whoa. We're going to replace. And they also killed that other lady because she was too old.
David Tellum?
Yeah, David Tellum, Margaret Cullen. They're like, only silver foxes can remain in this universe.
It's fucked up, but I will tell you one thing. Boy, does Jeff Goldblum look fabulous.
Oh my God. There's a scene where Bill Pullman with his fucking cool hipster beard.
Wait, you think Bill Pullman has a cool hipster beard in this?
No. Oh, he does. He absolutely does. It's a sexy faculty meeting.
That's a crazy man who just got a shower.
He's like the cool. He's the cool complet professor that invites you and a special group of friends over. You know,
I think you got to split the difference here. I think you're both onto something. It's sort of like David Letterman's beard now.
Yes,
really cool. But like,
I guess this is the problem is that Bill Pullman has like half a mouth hanging open the whole time, yeah. and like his eyes are twitching all which way.
He had a stroke, right?
Well, whatever happened, I mean, like clearly he went through alien some trauma.
Stroke. But there's no alien trauma from that first movie. Look, anything that happens to a character, you know, in a sequel, if we're seeing like the final result of something that happens to a character yes. in the sequel, and it didn't happen. You know, the cause of whatever that is didn't happen in the first movie.
Yeah.
You gotta fucking say something. He can't just be limping around in this movie.
Well, he, like, I think that he has trauma from, like, the telekinesis thing that happened.
Mm. Yeah.
Or telepathic. Let's
fucking say it then.
It's ventriloquy, right? Because they just use him as a ventriloquist dummy,
they
right?
They do.
They're just using him like a Jeff Dunham puppet.
Oh, man. Ahmed the dead alien terrorist.
Hey, Ahmed, tell them that they're going to die.
Well, it's like, the alien is like doing a shitty human impression, you know?
Oh, right,
which
yeah.
it's like, you think about the first, because listen, this movie, all it does, you can just look at a scene in this movie and find its sister scene from the first movie that you can do with every scene in this movie. Now, that scene where, and we're going all over the fucking place here, but there's a scene where Bill Pullman does the same thing that happens to Brent Spiner in the first movie. The first movie, it's Brent Spiner, and Bill Pullman's talking to the alien. It's like, what do you want us to do? And he just goes, duh. And it's fucking great.
Yeah.
This, Bill Pullman is like relaying lines of dialogue that this alien is saying.
On the fourth moon of the Jupiter sun
I know.
Comes the wrath of the, I was
Did
really
you just
hoping.
Say Jupiter's sun?
Yes. Well, it's also our son.
That's true.
Yeah, but you know what? They're stupid aliens, and they don't know what they're talking
and
about.
And maybe I'm stupid for being Earth-centric.
Well, I was thinking, it would be really great if they, like, so the first time they go to do this, all the aliens, and they wrap the thing around their neck.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just playing the wrong button, so, like, the guy shits himself and just, like, burps.
Oh, sorry about that, Kodos. Oh, I hit the brown note.
Oh, man. Like, they could take, like, this is why they abduct people, is they take them home to the home planet and they practice on them, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's like learning the guitar.
Yeah, chords.
It's, like, not good for a while, but then you're doing, like, a nice cover of the Gettysburg Address. Eventually, that's
a
like
cover.
That's like the Stairway of Heaven of human
presidential speeches.
Oh, rocketed Kang lore. You did it, man. So this movie, I didn't mention, by the way, is also directed by Roland Emmerich. You didn't think he could get worse than Stonewall, but look what happened.
Oh, I didn't see Stonewall.
I still have not seen that.
You're not missing a goddamn thing.
Bit of a shit show.
It's terrible.
Bit of a shit show.
This is terrible, too. I mean, this movie isn't disgracing real-world history so much as it's just disgracing, like, movie history. Oh, like, stuff that doesn't matter.
It's just alien history as well.
It's alt-world history.
It's just, like, lazy shit. Like, this, to me, is the most, like, just do the same thing we did, change it enough to fucking, you know, make sure that we don't get yelled at or anything.
But fair, I wish that's what we were doing here. I just feel like we're, towards the end of this movie, we're in uncharted territory.
Yes, the third act is different.
And the problem is the first movie is filled with great character actors, like literally wall to wall people that can hold the scene.
Even crazy fucking Randy Quaid.
And this is like a fucking H&M dumpster of mannequins. You know what I mean? Like you go outside of an H&M, there's a homeless guy jerking off and it's a bunch of fucking people wearing thin, dead-eyed people wearing thin coats.
And he's just like, ah, sorry. And then the H&M manager's like, don't worry about it, Jimmy. We didn't want any of them anyway.
Don't dent the Hemsworth.
Dent the Hemsworth.
Dude, yeah, second-tier Hemsworth. Thanks for nothing, Independence Day.
We've had enough of the Hemsworths. Let's just stop it.
I'm going to have to deal with Thor for another 30 years, but like, I don't need Chris Hemsworth.
There's not like a Paul or something, is there? No one else is coming down the pike.
No, there is a younger one.
There's a third.
Yes, there is.
I don't, it's like Greg or something,
and he's younger, so he might show up.
No,
this is Liam Hemsworth.
He will.
I think he's already shown. No, yeah. He's,
oh, no.
Isn't he?
Hemsworth Resurgence.
Isn't he the dude from Westworld? Who's the security guy?
Oh, shit, he is.
That's him.
It's a slightly different model of Hemsworth because he's got like a I don't want to say stockier build, but he's like a bigger dude in a way.
Yeah, he's like that. He's the white guy. He's like the white guy from Blacklist, the security guard on that show.
James.
There's
Spader.
A lot of security guards. On
what
a
we
show.
Need
Not
is
James Spader.
Is our new emperor to you know stretch out.
Well,
that,
it's a god emperor first of all.
Yeah, stretch out that racist wall that's gonna bankrupt this country. Yeah. Put it into Hollywood and like let's keep some of these Hemsworths out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
that is something I can get behind.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Where are your Hemsworth papers?
We need the wall along the Pacific to keep Australia out. I love our listeners in Australia, yes, but yeah. You know what?
You're taking our acting jobs.
Yeah, exactly. Make a movie there.
They do all the time.
Well, make some more.
Well, to be fair, we took their Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we could send her back.
Oh
right?
No, not on my watch.
I don't
really?
Think so.
What? Oh my goodness!
Hollywood royalty.
Oh yeah, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull right here. That's the royalty, right?
So I guess I mean, do we do a synopsis? I don't know. It's
fucking. Hey, did you see Independence?
Yeah. They're back.
It's the same movie.
It's 20 years later.
Yep.
Everything looks shitty.
It's a bad CGI
screen
job.
You can tell so much in every scene. You can just tell it. Like, the background's clearly every one of them.
Well, terrible.
We get future DC, right? And there's, like, fancy helicopters that have, like, you know, floating powers.
The tugs. Well, yeah, the tugs. Well, that's kind of a cool thing. Like, the first time I saw the movie, before I knew how bad it was, I was like, oh, this is an interesting idea. We've co-opted the alien technology. Sure. So maybe we'll like kind of do something with that. Oh, not really? Okay.
But they also mentioned that like all the nations unite. So it's a one world government.
We're in a Star Trek.
We got a one world government.
Star Trek.pigsblood.info.
Satanic ceremony.
USA fleet. Catch him in bed with a Pullman.
I wonder what kind of small alien is inside of Alex Jones. You know what I mean? Like clearly that's a mech suit, right?
You know what? If you broke Alex Jones open and a little thing came out so a fucking African dude with a sword could cut its head off, which is what happens in this movie. Man,
I'm really okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What if he broke open as an alien?
Yeah, like oh, just, yeah. You know.
I
just
think it would probably look like Mac and me.
Exoskeleton.w.
Yeah, it would look like virality Mac and me. Serum to keep your exoskeleton nice and lubricated.
It would be Mac and me, dude, because he'd have to immediately run to fucking McDonald's.
And maybe that British idiot will die. A prison planet, whatever that guy's name is.
Oh, yeah, Paul something.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
Who?
He's just this racist that hangs around Alex Jones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But he's got a British accent.
Wait,
so
there's only
like
one?
Well, he's like one of.
He's like, I think he's like second in command.
Oh, okay.
Is it a real English accent, though, or is he doing a fake one to keep the government off his tail?
He's very British, and he's always, Black Lives Matter. He's really upset about black, and it's white genocide.
He's
a big idiot about white genocide.
Oh, white genocide is one of the funniest fucking things you'll hear people bitch about.
Are you sure he's just not a South African and he's taking it back or what?
No, I believe he's British. So,
this is like a bad, here's what this movie is, by the way. It's like a bad, no one cared for it video game sequel.
Yes. Yeah.
Like this should be out on a fucking Sega Saturn if anyone cared.
Because the beginning, it's like there's all these like different planets and it looks like shit. And it looks like, you know, you're going to get in, you're at Disney, you're at MGM Studios and Goldblum's going to be like, the aliens are coming. So all we need to do is sit down and lock in and here comes the fun ride. Look out for the steam.
Biff stole the DeLorean. Man, I've never been more fucking disappointed in a theme ride than Back to the Future the ride. What a hunk of shit that was. My little heart was broken when I finally made it to Florida to go on that thing.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it sucks. You know what? It was too bad.
So, speaking about the video game angle of this movie is the military in this looks like Wing Commander.
Yeah, it's
or like, you know, like a
Starship Troopers
or Battlestar Galactica if it was bad, which it is not.
It is good.
Clarification, it is good.
The most good. I guess to set the stage, Celia Ward is president because Susan Sarandon could not understand the screenplay. Anyone else read that?
No, is that true? But Celia Ward's emails! How'd she get to be president with all of Celia Ward's emails? Oh, Celia Ward's emails!
The Illuminati is setting up private email servers all across Washington.
State or D.C.?
Dot W.
Well, the funny thing is, later in the movie, guy. When Celia Ward is well dead, I think it's somebody's making a speech again. It's Fichtner. Fichtner becomes president.
Yes, because, Fichtner, yeah.
Fichtner. William Fichtner.
William Fichtner gets a bullshit fucking Bill Pullman speech in this movie. But, yes, he does.
But the funny thing is, he does this thing. It's like, we have to move past our differences. And I'm like, we are 20 years after an alien apocalypse if we haven't moved past our differences by now.
We've united as a world, right?
Yeah, like, I think so.
Like the Chinese military is infiltrating the United States military.
No, I just saw this happen. It's a product of the war on Christmas. I knew it.
And yet, Jeff Goldblum is buddy-buddy with a warlord.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
Well, he's a great leader. I don't know what the problem is. That warlord.
Strong leader.
Strong leader.
Isn't it crazy, though, that Jeff Goldblum's character in this movie is kind of like the third most important person on the planet?
Yeah, but he's also like the fifth most important person in this movie, which is kind of a bummer.
This movie needs to be wall-to-wall Goldblum. I need these fucking walls painted with Goldblum, man. It does not happen.
I wanted to speak upon this because...
Please, go right ahead.
Like, focus on the actors from the first movie.
Yes.
If you're doing this fucking revival bullshit, which is they're doing with everything now. Oh, they're doing it with everything now. But... like, why do we need this, like, young, all these young bucks?
You know, it's horseshit.
Yes, we need more older people in the movies.
We do.
No, we do. We do. I mean, why not?
But, I mean, how? Who is
this for? You're trying to attract the people that watched it in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
To a degree, but you also got to think like an idiot. Because that's what producers are doing.
That's how you hire a Hemsworth.
So then you just say, like, oh, well, we need young people along with older people.
So you got Liam Hemsworth, and then you got your sexy Chinese jet pilot.
Right.
Yes.
And you got, I don't know who this guy playing Floyd is.
Nobody. Jonathan
Oliver? Not John Oliver.
Oh, that guy who stole John Oliver's fucking persona in the garbage.
It was like a fat guy was wearing John Oliver's skin.
He's
not weird.
Fat.
He's like a fat John Oliver.
He's a
little chunky.
He's fatter than John Oliver.
Yes.
He's got a beer gut. He's been drinking the Coronas.
Yeah.
But
I thought you were talking about who's the geeky little friend who's just the Harry Connick Jr.
Charlie, I think it's his name.
Charlie.
Yeah, the fact that doesn't burst into a pile of ash is horseshit.
But what, like, if you want to have your little, you got your sexy ones for the movie to get the kids in here.
Sure,
I wish everyone at home
could see what Eric's doing with
his
hands.
He's like trying to like grab at me.
You look like you're trying to milk Chris. Okay.
Well, he's a total babe.
I wear.
But the thing is, like, have two and develop them. Develop those sexy ones. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't give me like a fucking, you know, cattle car full of them.
I mean, you're right. Of course, you're right. But like, this is so clearly a product from beginning to end. They were so clearly not thinking about if this is going to be good or not.
Right.
We're just thinking about, can we get people into the fucking theater?
But it's so convoluted. There's so many characters, because you do shoehorn a lot of characters in the last movie, and you are introducing a lot of characters
like,
in the new movie.
Why did Foghorn Leghorn need to be there at the end?
Who?
He's a cartoon character.
Oh, no, yeah, okay.
I was just saying there's too much.
Yes,
I thought you were implying that there was some like guy that just came in with like a big hearty southern accent. Oh, you know who doesn't need to be here, by the way? A fucking puppet Robert Loggia.
He was a real person at the time.
It was a stuffed corpse they propped up.
You know what? Robert Loggia died not knowing he was in a second Independence Day movie.
You know what? I think he just thought he had been kidnapped.
Again?
Like, they put him in a suit, and they make him stand up in this green room.
And when Bill Pullman goes up now, what was it? The female president's going to give this
Seal
address.
Award. Seal Award. Yeah.
And Bill Pullman's... First of all, he just shows up and stumbles up there coughing like, I'm going to do a speech.
Don't you see what's happening right now? A fucking female president was dethroned by a mentally unstable fucking lunatic during a presidential address.
But the thing is,
do you not see the irony in this
movie?
It's
insane. But and then everyone lets it happen. And he's an ex-president, and he has Secret Service. And presumably she does as well. How does he get 100 yards to this stage?
It's that's amazing.
It's a mile great question. Away.
You know what, Bill Pullman? Just sit in this room. We'll get somebody. I mean, like, he's not sneaking onto this fucking platform.
He also, he has a handler. If he fucking tells the handler, like, I'm going to go up to that fucking stage.
That guy stinks. That guy fucking fails at his job at the end of this movie.
So the plot is sort of, we know the aliens are coming back. Because
right.
obviously we're in the movie theater. And basically, there's a base on the moon that Liam Hemsworth and his scrappy partner Charlie work in,
right?
And they do stuff, and all of a sudden a big ship comes to the moon, right? And stuff
yeah.
happens.
Yeah. By the way, it's a ship that comes through a wormhole.
Yes,
which is what happens.
It's Nero.
Yeah, don't tell me it didn't happen. I fucking sat through this movie twice.
And Jeff Goldblum is in Africa with this warlord named Dikembe, which I know because of Dikembe Mutombo. That's how I remember that name.
Okay.
And Charlotte Gainsbourg.
It's a disgrace that she's
Why?
In this movie.
It's her American debut. This is her big box office debut is what I had read on the IMDb. Like, this is her big
she's
mainstream.
She's been in American movies before, right? I'm not crazy.
I don't know.
And none of
those Lars von Trier movies count. So.
One of his underlings named Floyd, and they kind of figure they have there's this scene where they're like, oh my god, another alien ship just came into the stratosphere. Celia Ward, what do you want to do? And Fichtner's like, blow it out of the sky, and she's like, yeah, sure, let's do that.
Yeah, fuck it.
They don't talk to it. They blow it away. And then I think somebody's like, oh, well, we should go see what's in that space. Yeah. Hey, you know, we should go see what's in that space.
No, we're having a party first.
And Andrew.
They shut it down. No. Don't look what those aliens were.
We'll
we're going to have
it,
a party.
And we'll
celebration.
Look at it tomorrow. We're like, oh, the party must go
tomorrow.
On.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Like, governments work on tomorrow?
There's enough people that some people can go to the
yeah.
party and other people can see what's going on with that fucking alien.
Oh, don't be silly.
Ever since Celia Ward instituted that four-day work week.
Yeah.
To Andrew's point, Celia Ward's hawkish.
Yep.
Yeah,
she totally is.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, see what happened there?
So she, but like, at this point, Liam Hemsworth is on a space station, and like, there's hijacks a ship
sure
to
does.
Go to Earth to pick up Jeff Goldblum. Like, it's just driving to your grandfather's house and coming back.
And I think,
and nobody blows this thing out of the sky.
Nobody blows it out of the sky, which definitely would have happened. But also, yes. like, it's not explained. I think like Goldblum and Hemsworth have a backup plan
they do,
where it's like, hey man, in case of another alien breach, come to wherever I am and pick me up and bring me to Washington. It's this totally unexplained thing because he's just like, hey, I'm stealing this thing, so don't worry about me, and then leaves. To go get them.
Because they're best buds. There's like some line where it's like, oh, they were best buds. I was like, oh, what? And then they just go and like they do it. And like, it doesn't make any sense.
You cannot, after watching this movie, blame Will Smith for not being in it.
No.
I mean, you really can't.
But isn't he, though?
Dude, and
that fucking
picture.
Portrait.
Oh, man.
What outside of Seal Awards.
They took a screenshot of the DVD
really
and
did.
Printed it out.
They did. They so did. And the only way, by the way, that you like know what happened to him is if you went on the movie's website,
yes,
where it tells you that like Captain Hiller was flying alien technology and it crashed and
he
got killed.
They bring it up in the movie,
but do they say exactly what happened?
He crashed.
Oh, do they say?
Yeah, the sun.
That was a test pilot or whatever. Right?
That's yeah. because Andrew, you don't know that because that happens in the middle of a 4-car pileup of backstory. It's Micah Monroe who's now playing the Mae Whitman role, and this other guy playing Dylan. Dylan from Hiller's son from the first movie, and you just can't even hear what they're saying over the fucking B-rumble of backstory.
Like, you don't need to try to continue every character from the last movie.
No, you really don't.
No, Do you know, also, none of you have mentioned it yet, so I don't know if you noticed it, but like when the movie starts, well, first it's like they show you the aliens watching video feed of Bill Pullman making that speech.
It's the queen planning her dingy ting.
Jesus, it's just, it's dumb. And also, like, don't show, and you know, like, video and audio from the first movie in your first scene, because I really just want to watch Independence Day now.
Sure.
So after that happens, though, then it cuts, they have, like, a war memorial type thing of all the people lost in the Battle of 96 or whatever.
The War of 96.
Right. And by the way, this probably means 9/11 didn't happen.
Right. Oh, yeah. 9/11 couldn't happen at that point. Yeah, we're not.
But
it couldn't happen? It could happen.
Prisonplanet.info.
It probably didn't, but I don't think it...
It
I don't know.
Didn't happen because the world government wasn't trying to make it happen.
No, on that wall, dude, fucking clear as day, right in the center of the screen.
Randy Quaid.
Russell Case. Yeah. Just right really? There, dude. Yeah.
Hey, boys, I'm back.
But the thing is, I needed that country yes. swagger. Yeah. I needed that in this movie. Yeah. I needed a character that was like your crazed hillbilly that's going to figure it out.
We are Larry missing a derelict, to yes. be honest. We
Larry
are missing
the cable guy.
Should've, oh, that's a
that's
great
who
idea.
You fill that hole.
That's great.
This it's movie's like, stupid and dumb anyway. Why don't we have fun with it?
It would be cool because it'd be Larry the Cable Guy would play Russell Case's son from the first movie that he's just like, oh, I got really fat and I'm also ginger now and I'm no longer like part Native American or whatever I was supposed to be in that first
KFC
movie.
KFC was the only fast food to survive the alien apocalypse. So,
the War of 96.
I just really hunkered down with that stuff.
I ate too much chicken. Now I look like this. Anyway, what y'all doing?
Oh my God. It would be so great if it was Fat Independence Day and it was just wall to wall fat actors replacing all these characters.
Oh man. Eric Stone Street as Bill Pullman.
Yes. No, exactly. I love this idea.
By the way, that there's like a 12% chance that was a Mad TV sketch.
Fat Dude, Independence Day?
Now, okay. Frank Caliendo stars in Fat Independence Day.
You get John Goodman to play Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, yes.
You know, like this is really shaping up. Yeah.
Brian Cox is Judd Hirsch.
Yes.
He's I'll fat take enough.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I'll take it.
John's is fat enough.
Josh Gad is Liam Hemsworth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. And we could play the aliens, all four of us.
Oh, that's yeah, true, we're dude. Fat monsters. Why
not? Oh, man. So, yeah, so it's like this alien gets shot out of the sky. That's like a thing.
And, yeah, we go, how long does it take to go from the moon to Earth? It seems
two
like...
2 hours.
Yeah.
Flat.
Do they say 2 hours?
They never say it, no, but it clearly is only 2 hours.
It takes longer in Airplane 2. Remember that movie when they're flying to the moon yes. and back?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it takes no time at all. Yeah, it's like driving to, I don't know, and around the, you know.
Honestly, but like you already make it like wormhole technology and you can just, you go up and you go through a wormhole and you end up at the moon. Like because you've already introduced the fucking thing. You've already introduced wormholes.
But no. Like, let's not get nuts right now. That wormhole is technology possessed by a different alien race.
Yes.
That's what we're told in this movie. Right. Now there's two different alien races. Mm. That's not the bad aliens.
But the moon...
That's
the
good aliens.
The way you travel... Sorry.
No, go right.
The way you travel to the moon, it's like if you went to school on the moon, you wouldn't be entirely sure if you should commute there or stay there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a bit of a hassle to get there every day, but it's not that bad. Like,
well,
depending on the money situation.
The spaceships are better, though. They're faster with this new technology.
Sure.
We don't know what's going on.
But you would, like, shit yourself every day on your way to school and the way back. Because, right? Because once you leave the Earth's orbit, don't you, like, auto-shit?
No, is that true?
That. You should have asked that astronaut that when you met him.
Oh, he was an old man at the time, though.
He would have told you straight, man.
Independence Day 3 moon school?
He was telling about the overview effect.
I'm almost positive that Glenn put that in one of his speeches.
No, I think like right when you break, like that rocket's going fast, man. You think that shit can stay in your body?
Yeah.
Well, you know, gravity alone is forcing
it
out.
Well, I will say I didn't see a bathroom in this tug.
They don't need it. It's in their suits.
Well, that's actually true.
A suction thing?
There's a suction thing right on your butthole.
Okay.
Is that true?
I don't think
so. It's the future.
Maybe
that's part
of the
technology that we got.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah.
I don't even know. So, like, basically, Liam Hemsworth picks up this warlord who he was in a ground war with the aliens for 20 years, yet nobody else decided to help him. Did anyone hear this?
Well, because it's the thing, right? Am I remembering right? So, like, when the mothership was destroyed and then all the other aliens crashed, like, the rest of the ships crashed around the world, I guess, like, we did spend time battling aliens.
Better movie.
Hey, how about it? I want to see that shit.
Set it in 97 and have it be a ground war against aliens.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know what? It's a fucking sci-fi sequel that's also a period piece.
And then you can do your new cast, you know, and just have like Bill Pullman in a hologram or something. Or a radio voice, and that's it.
Well, you can't do all that in green screen, so I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon.
But so, yeah, I'm sorry.
Can we talk about how William Fichtner comes into this movie?
Sure.
He's called in because there is an alien threat, as it turns out. The wormhole opened up. And he's got to give them the okay to bomb it.
Well, because he's now the Robert Loggia character.
Yes. We get quite more of him.
He is.
No, I know.
So
get him out of there! Loggia orange juice.
For the first time you see Fichtner walking down the hall, he's like, you know what? You interrupted a very nice weekend with my wife at a very nice bed and breakfast on a very nice I fucked my wife. I fucked her brains out, and I was about to come, and then you called me.
Oh, okay. So now I know this dude like has fucked vacations. Great.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the movie.
Hey, that makes a character.
Rounds him out.
That he has sex with his wife. That is an interesting trait.
He likes to fuck in strange beds. That should come up again, though. Like,
he should have to call his wife, maybe. Right?
That's like introducing a gun in the first act and having it not go off in the third.
So now the other aliens show up, right? The big bad aliens. They show up and like, oh my God, this ship is like a lot bigger. It's
definitely bigger than the last one,
okay, says Jeff Goldblum while shitting his pants on the moon.
Because it's just...
No, he had the suction thing. It's the future. Oh, keep up.
He had no shit left in him unless
the suction thing, it's part of your shoot, right?
Suck in my butt.
It's in my pants. I got these pants. Diesel jeans. Now I'll have suction machines because the alien technology, I just shit right through my pants.
He is so hiply dressed in this
movie. Mr. Goldblum, it's time for your pills.
So Liam Hemsworth leaves the moon to go get him in Africa to just then immediately bring him back to the moon?
Because he wants to investigate. He's the only guy that's like, you know,
and it's maybe, a quick 120 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, maybe I want to see what's in that alien spaceship before the party. You know what I mean?
We need a good guy with a spaceship. I've been saying it for years.
He's got, like, audiobooks. He's through, like, four chapters. One day he goes back and forth from the moon.
And then also stowing away, going back to the moon, is Charlotte Gainsbourg. Dikembe the warlord and fat John Oliver all get on board.
I'm not on board with fat John Oliver, though. I'll be honest with you.
You're just kind of worried about it because he also kind of looks like you.
Yeah, I know, but I look worse than this.
Him in shape.
Yeah, exactly. I look worse than this guy. So if he's fat John Oliver, what does that make me?
Makes you Steve say that.
Yeah.
Gimli Oliver?
Gimli Oliver.
A good name.
You can't toss a dwarf.
Gimli Oliver sounds like the name of like a silent film star that died in some heinous like sex scandal or something.
That's where I'm gonna go.
He died sucking Fatty Arbuckle's butthole.
You got these new pants and you put them on and then you're shitting your pants and it goes into a separate place.
They're called Gimli Olivers.
Gimli Oliver new jeans. I would pay for those jeans, man. I'd be shitting right now. You wouldn't even know it.
It would come in handy with how many times you've shit your pants.
Promo code brown note.
Jesus.
They pick up this thing and then it's like, oh, we should. Then they see the new alien ship, and they're like, we should get back to Earth. They grab this egg. It's like a big, fat, stupid egg.
It's like the only part. Like, so what happens is they bomb that fucking sphere that comes through the wormhole.
Sure.
And that's like a piece that falls off.
Yeah.
And then the ship goes back into the wormhole. That's the idea.
It's like it's black box, essentially.
If this movie
what?
Had...
What?
The thing that it's encased in. Later, Brett Spiner has to use a stupid laser.
Oh, right.
But the thing is, it would be a smart twist at the end of this movie is if the only way we could have defeated them is if we listened to these aliens... And there's just a bunch of dead aliens in this like ship.
Well,
it's like, they had all the secrets, so we're fucked.
That's kind of what happens, though, because the little talking orb that we'll get to says to Brent Spiner, "God, I can't. This none of what I'm saying makes sense as I listen to it come out of my mouth." But she, the voice, this thing is like,
sure.
"Hey, man, we were coming to help you, and then you attacked us and." now I'm the only thing left. It's kind of, if it were a better movie, if it knew like the weight of what that piece of dialogue meant, like you could have had a nice little Twilight Zone ending.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just totally just like a fucking fart in a mall, man. Mm-hmm. Like totally right. Missed.
And these nice aliens are like the Wi-Fi people, right? Yeah. They're like, they're virtual. They've shed their bodies, which I think is great and I can't wait to do. Mm-hmm. But like they exist just like, I don't know, in the cloud.
Their consciousness is in yeah. like virtual reality. Yeah. Yeah. And Brent Spiner's like, that sounds cool.
So Brent Spiner, by the way, who everyone thought and was really okay with being dead in the first movie.
Sure. Yeah.
He's got more screen time than Goldblum in this.
He does. Because apparently like they just tripled down on the Spiner in this movie. Because he was in a coma, and this guy, who we find out much later, is his boyfriend. By the way,
much later.
Oh, that you is might that even say
as that dude is dead.
Yeah, like, you don't realize that until like,
what, they hold hands.
They hold hands and they're crying. But no, at the in on,
I've held hands with men
on IMDb. They say specifically that the movie got a little bit of flack because of the gay character or some nonsense.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they don't say it, but it's just kind of there at the end.
No, but it's totally there.
But could that also just be people misunderstanding male emotion?
But I mean, but it's also real,
like, no, I'm sorry, the two of you on the other side of this table for me and Steve. They are clearly supposed to be a couple.
Here's the thing is, like, when 9/11 was happening.
Yeah,
that's a good way to start.
People held hands when they were jumping out of those buildings. That doesn't necessarily mean they were fucking.
Oh, man, you were gay on 9/11.
I'm just saying, like,
don't stand next to me in heaven, brother. You got gay on 9/11.
Dude, listen, here's the thing.
This character could be gay. He could not be gay.
This is how a shitty Hollywood movie tries to have gay characters in it. This is the best that they could bring themselves to do.
Which is barely having a gay character.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's actually not having a gay character.
Yeah, because he's not actually... But
oh,
so
wait, we'll reveal him to be gay and then shoot him in the head right then and there.
Well, that's a little bit better than J.K. Rowling, who revealed after the character was well dead and the books were all over.
And
Which character was that?
Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Wait,
here's your prize.
He wasn't fucking in those books?
He's not nobody.
Nah.
He might have boners under those robes, but we never could tell.
How could you tell those robes?
That is the number one reason to wear a robe.
Those robes went for days.
I haven't read that Fantastic Beasts. He might be fucking in Fantastic
That's a great
Beasts.
Idea. That's the good thing about being in Wizard High School. No worry about boners. Yeah, it's just like I got boners all the time.
Nope,
fucking rocking them.
Rocking them. Well, you could say Expelliarmus, then it goes down, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. Debonicus.
And you could say something to make him go up, right?
Yeah.
Rebonicus.
But what happens?
Cialo.
Erectora.
Yeah, that's Erectora is the one.
Also, Fantastic Beasts isn't like a narrative book. It's a fake textbook.
Oh.
She wrote an original screenplay for that movie that's supposed to be not very good.
Oh, I didn't read. I don't read J.K. Rowling.
Well,
so
I don't read J.K. Rowling.
I'm not on the high about it. But
I don't know. That sounded like a little bit of a high horse. I think I heard a whinny over there.
Fine.
Your high horse whinnied at me.
Fine.
Well, if your erection spell lasts for more than 4 hours,
yes.
What do you do then?
You consult Dumbledore. You have to consult Dumbledore.
Yeah, then you have to have a private counsel.
And they do like alchemy and pour some like toad juice on it or whatever the
a
fuck.
A big snake. Nagini comes and bites it.
Oh, no. Nagini.
What's a Nagini?
It's a big
fucking snake that he who shall not be named has as a pet.
Which is the only reason I know that is because my favorite line is in that last movie is when what's his face? Because I didn't even know if that snake had a name until the end of that movie, and Ray Fiennes like, "Come, Nagini!
Oh, Nagini! Dinner!
You've got a big boner to bite."
Fuck, I gotta watch these movies.
You gotta watch. So I don't know.
You know what's so stupid? In another fucking detail of this movie that they try to make like hip and cool is that. Where in the first movie, you know, there's that great exchange where they're like, we got to go to Area 51. Mm-hmm. And Bill Pullman, as the president, is like, that exists? Yeah. Like, it's really great, right? In this movie, Area 51 is a known thing. They've built it up. It's like fucking Manhattan. Like, all the buildings that are on
this
thing.
It's a tourist attraction at this point.
It looks like Vegas. I thought it was Vegas for a second. It's just city in the desert shit.
It's fucking stupid.
So this the big ship, which is told to be as big as the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, bigger than the last one.
Crashes, and they also say it has its own gravity, which doesn't make any sense.
It's whatsoever. So big it has its own gravity.
Shouldn't it like throw off the gravity of Earth or
yes,
something?
Yes, there would be nothing left. If something had its own gravity, crashed into this.
Melancholia.
Yeah,
somebody call Neil deGrasse Tyson and then hang up. But
oh man, prank calling Neil deGrasse Tyson. He doesn't deserve that.
Yeah, he does.
And they'd be like, hey Neil, what did you think of Independence Day Resurgence? And as he starts, he just kind of like soft close the phone.
And he's and he has no idea. Do you hear that fucking beeping in his ear?
Mm-hmm. And he's just talking and talking.
No, see, that's like if you really want to get, because he's going to hear the beeping immediately. So what you have to do is just walk away from the phone.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Just leave it on a table somewhere.
And call from a payphone and just leave it like hanging. If you can find a payphone.
But as it's crashing in, the first movie, like, you have it's really slow, not slow, but slow enough where, like, all these ships kind of materialize.
It's like a real movie. It's like it builds to something.
You don't know what they're doing, and they're all there, and they all kind of sit above these things, and when they strike, it's really clear what's happening. Like, here comes a big dumb beam, it's going to blow everything up. I don't really know what happens in this part. The ship comes in and everything kind of blowed up.
Things go up
because of the gravity
super,
and then come back down.
Super, super stupid.
Oh, it's super
because
stupid.
Because this is what happens.
Okay.
The ship comes in and it has its own force field, which I guess is what they mean by its own gravity. A huge force field that makes everything go up right under the force field.
Well, it's getting sucked. Like, I guess the ship's gravitational pull is pulling things up towards it.
But isn't it also a force field?
I think it works.
They're all force
There's a
fields,
force field.
Chris.
I think you're getting the force field mix. There's a force field later in the movie.
But they don't have a force field yet.
I don't think so. It's just pulling things in. Because what it does is, like, it rips up a city in Asia. Like, it rips up Hong Kong or something. Mm-hmm. And then because it's so big, it just instantly flies to England and then drops Hong Kong on London.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yes.
That was so unclear.
I thought what was... Because it's as big as the Atlantic Ocean.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought it was landing and, like, coastal cities were being destroyed.
Yeah.
And then what's really stupid is that it lands and it's like, oh, got so close to the White House and knocked the flag off on top. but it still stands. That flag still stands.
Yeah, that it's also stupid because it's like, remember the first movie where it done got blown up? This time the fucking flag tipped over.
I don't even remember that. I guess they fucking rebuilt it.
By the way, this is the third White House.
Yeah, I mean, but
this one surprisingly was still built by slaves.
Well, you gotta get it built pretty quick. But I don't know what's even happening. Judd Hirsch is on a boat, and he like narrowly like all these people in Hong
Kong. This is so stupid.
In Hong Kong are dying, and he's just like, "Well, I better make my boat go quick."
Guess what I could have done without
Judd Hirsch?
Fucking Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch. And here's the thing: I love Judd Hirsch. Judd Hirsch is fucking acting royalty. He's a genius on Taxi.
He's great in that first movie, too.
And he's great in the first movie. He is, but you know what? Julius Levinson needs to have passed away in the last few years.
I would have never thought in 1996 that Judd Hirsch would outlive all the cast members of this fucking movie.
No.
Will Smith, long in the ground.
Yep.
David Tellum, long dead. I can't believe it.
Randy Quaid, killed by the Starfuckers?
The Starwhackers,
I apologize.
Spoiler alert, he outlives Vivica A. Fox and fucking Bill Pullman.
All right, so let's talk about Vivica A. Fox. So she's in this movie for a second because the kid. And the problem is also, like, this should be Dylan's movie. It should be, like, the son of David Hiller, like, that's of Captain Hiller. He goes through and he's the one. And, like, it makes sense. He's got a relationship with Micah Marco, Bill Pullman's daughter.
Monroe,
sorry. And that makes sense. Hemsworth
makes zero sense in this movie.
He doesn't need to be a character. And heaven the fuck forbid.
Or do one or the other. Maybe
or make him his fun friend in the military.
He should be the Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah,
character.
He should die. He should definitely die. Because he's got four storylines,
yes,
none of which I care about.
There's some,
and they have this weird fucking Top Gun thing going on.
They sure do. Kilmer Cruise shit. Yeah, like, they sure do.
Who is the top dog in the academy? I almost killed you in the academy. They almost punch each other. But like
we're friends.
There's some sort of ceremony like wherein when David Hiller's son, Dylan Hiller, is flying back, he goes past a hospital.
Yes.
That he's going to his mom's hospital. Vivica Fox stopped being a stripper and got her a degree.
Which is amazing. She is the actual living embodiment of all the times strippers are like, I'm just doing this to get through school. Like, whatever. It happened in this movie. She did it.
Probably happened sometimes. Somebody's got
to
go to school.
But it's the thing. It's always like, I'm getting my way through art school. Do you want to dance? I need to get my way through art school. No, I was brought here by a friend. I don't want to be here now.
I mean,
it's 3 a.m.
Total babe Chris Cabin got through art school that way.
Look, I didn't say we could talk about that on air.
I thought I made it clear. He's a fucking excellent dancer.
Yes. Yeah,
no, I know.
That's the kind of dancing I meant.
He's about to drop a C and D on me. A little. Tell me to hush.
And, I'm a little flexible as well. But
he goes to her hospital, and we're like, you know, the whole ship is doing something to the Earth, and it's coming, and he's like, oh, I better save my mom. And, like, he's a million miles away.
Also, you're in the fucking military. Why is everyone in the military going like, well, I gotta go see what mom's up to. Follow your fucking orders. There's bigger things at play here. And I don't, you know, like, let go of mom, dude.
But because everyone is just stealing spaceships in this movie. It's insane how many people are stealing spaceships.
There'd be so many court martials after this.
And he just sees his mother is in like two states away on top of a building and she falls. He's like, no, mom. Like, how do you even know?
Well, it's also no, dude. He is right there, though, because what happens is she has this moment where it's like, come on, pregnant lady or a woman with a baby. Yes. Like, let's go.
Why?
I'm not going to let you down. So like he comes in with the fucking tug or whatever it is.
And tugging.
He's like, all right, like, come on.
They call them tugs.
And so like she lifts the woman with the baby up.
Yeah.
And then the building collapses and she falls into a collapsing building. What a way to go.
Why have her in this movie? I don't need to see the fate of Vivica A. Fox. Like, well, either have her or don't have her.
I'm glad you disobeyed orders, broke millions of protocols, and flew out there to watch your mom die.
Yeah, and here's how you continue to get this down to a nice tight 95 minutes.
Oh, that's never going to happen.
But you get rid of fucking Vivica A. Fox. He calls on a phone. She doesn't pick up.
Yeah,
that's it.
Oh, no. Yep. And he's like, Judge Hirsch. She must be gone.
He goes to a tombstone.
Yes, Jeff Goldblum. Mm-hmm. Start the movie. He's at the fucking cemetery. David Tellum's been buried. Judd Hirsch is already there.
Maybe they're all buried on the moon. Maybe that's kind of fun, right? Like a little moon cemetery. I like that idea, right?
Oh yeah, that's probably got to be pretty easy to dig into that stuff
too. They threw everything else in this, Steve. Why not?
Yeah, moon cemetery would be amazing. Think of all like. You can get like space ghosts.
Yes, absolutely.
But like,
Zorak is there. Brack shows up. It's a fun talk show that's really influential. You know, that's really interesting.
Yeah, totally. That'd be amazing. That'd be much better than this movie.
It could be a sequel to that. I think is it a Rupert Everett movie, Cemetery Man?
Yes.
It could be fucking Moon Cemetery Man. It's a sequel. You get Rupert Everett back.
It says fall in love with moon zombies. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Oh, dude. Yeah, moon zombies right there.
Walter Koenig. Yeah. Get Walter Koenig from Moontrap. Let's get it going.
Hey, by the way, I think I said this to like Eric or something last night. Or maybe all of you guys. I'm calling it right now. Moontrap 2, the movie that's coming out that nobody could possibly care about. Will be better than Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
In some way.
And by coming out, do you mean released on Vimeo?
That's what I meant by coming out.
It's definitely going to look better.
someone accidentally will upload it to YouTube from the production.
By the way, like William Fichtner has like an alien jail or something in this
movie.
Right.
We've captured a bunch of them.
Chris saying Moontrap 2 would look better reminded me of how bad this looks. This is your video game cutscene. Yeah. These are the fakest looking aliens.
Do you guys remember the arcade game? You'd go to the movies and they had the arcade game Area 51.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It just looks like the, yeah.
Less colorful.
Yeah, yeah. Actually,
you don't get any pink and orange ones going on.
The color.
It's not quite as good as the Area 51 video game.
The one thing
They're trying.
Why are we leaving these aliens in their enormous mech suits? Take them out.
That's a great question.
That's A number one. Right, these get them out of
here,
the mech suit.
We're going to put you in a jail cell. Keep your gun.
Yes, you don't put Iron Man in a cell with bars on it. You take him out of the suit. You put Tony Stark in the cell.
Oh,
that's
okay.
True.
In a cave where he builds it from scraps.
I don't know, though, if these aliens can survive out of the suits on this planet, though. That's
then,
something.
Yeah, let them die.
Well, actually, first of all, can we please just make sure they're all fucking dead? Are you kidding me?
Like, listen, you got some. I'm sure they dissected millions by now. What's the point of having these guys around?
That African warlord had the right idea, dude. Get him from behind. He says it six times.
One bullet to the back of the head per alien. You don't spend a lot on ammunition.
Also, clearly, somebody is paying for this. Probably. Us taxpayers.
Yeah.
Oh, and like, it's not
We're going to make the aliens pay for it, Chris. Right now, taxpayers will pay for it.
The aliens are going to pay us back. That's the story now. The aliens are going to pay us back.
It is kind of like Guantanamo. You're never going to let them out.
Yeah. Right.
So, what are we doing here?
Don't finish that sentence. That ends in something I'm not comfortable with.
What?
Killing people on Guantanamo Bay?
Oh, well, yeah.
No,
I mean,
I was talking about in the lockup.
He was talking about killing people in Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, okay.
Guantanamo Bay made me think of...
Harold and Kumar 2, Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
I was going to say Bad Boys 2, Escape into Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm just thinking of like movies that Will Smith's in. I don't know. Why not?
I mean, you need Will Smith in this movie. You need a strong... That's what that first movie was. It was a strong, magnetic performance by Will Smith with an army of character actors.
Yes. And this poor bastard that has to play the stepson.
Yes.
This poor guy, they're like, hey, by the way, just try to do what Will Smith did. Because this guy is trying his best to get those Will Smith woos in there.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So we go to Area 51, and the plan is, they're like, okay, well, we got to attack the ship. Let's just do what we did last time. And the plan is, I think...
Hey, cool, I'm going to fly.
Oh, my God. Larry, yes.
I got my pilot's license.
Oh, man, Mater's going to take down the aliens.
Larry the Cable Guy, alien pilot. Wait, no. Alien. Well, I fight the aliens.
I'm not an alien. I swear to God, there's not a little weird fat guy inside of this Dan Whitney suit.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome. If you just cut Dan Whitney open and Vern Troyer came out dancing. How cool would that be?
That'd be pretty something.
It's him and Alex Jones, and there's probably a lot of people that have little aliens in them. So, Eddie Murphy in that Meet Dave movie?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Whoa. Probably a stay tuned. So the plan is we're going to do this, and like they say, like, all right, whichever ship gets to the mothership first, deliver the payload, which I think the plan is called willy-nilly. Like, is it a race? Like, there's no formation. There's not like, all right, this Delta squad, you take it from the side, you flank this way.
It's going to get there first because I painted a 3 on my fighter jet, and that is there to honor Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Did Dale die before or after the alien apocalypse? I forget.
I think
the War of 96.
Dale,
war.
Died
Dale
after.
Died after.
Dead after. Yeah, okay, so in this world, Dale Earnhardt, because NASCAR has to stop. After.
What? Why would NASCAR stop just because of an alien invasion?
Because most of the fucking tracks have probably been raised at this point.
NASCAR's got the money to build them back, baby.
All right. All right.
I went to, I've never seen a NASCAR race, but I went to like a NASCAR track one time down in Charlotte. Dude, those facilities are impressive.
Sure,
it's insane the money that's going on in these things. It would definitely survive an alien apocalypse.
All right.
Without question.
So then the crash would happen no matter what, is what you're saying?
Dale Earnhardt dies in any timeline. Okay. That's what
it's just destined to die. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's life.
That is you're right.
It's Holmes Osborne just in a bed with Mary McDonald's. Like, you know, there's that Dale Earnhardt Jr. Says, what they always said about him was, he was doomed.
Yeah, wait. Now, I don't know NASCAR. Dale Earnhardt died. Doesn't he have an actual son?
That Dale Earnhardt Jr.
He's Jr.
Wait, did he die too?
No, he's alive. Junior's retired.
Alive. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if he still races anymore, but he's alive and well. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
But yeah, so
it was like the Kennedys.
Dale Earnhardt is Dale Earnhardt in this timeline is buried next to Will Smith
there, on the moon.
On the moon, yes. But they're like, yeah, race. Whoever gets there first, blow up the ship.
Hey, go up there to that ship, blow her up.
Hey, cool. I'm blowing up ships.
So they all go. They all kind of get captured right at this point. Like, they go in.
The alien queen. By the way, we're aping this James Cameron. There's a queen mother. Good God.
Why would they do this?
They look enough like the xenomorphs to begin with.
They do. That was always a real problem with that first movie, but nobody was saying it.
Well, because they do a cool thing where there's a little tiny little alien, a Polly Pocket inside of his head. So that's kind of neat.
Hey, do you remember what was the quote version for boys with
Polly
Pocket?
I think it's Mighty Max.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I had so many Mighty Max, man.
I did not.
What a waste of my parents' money.
Little toys always creep me out. Like little really tiny ones, not Legos. Wait, smaller than Legos. Legos gross me out.
Micro machines give
gross me. They kind of gross me. They gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Why? Because you thought maybe like Martin Short was in one. No. Oh wait, no. Dennis Quaid was
Dennis
in
Quaid
one.
Was
and
in
you
it.
Were Martin Short.
Yes.
And it went into your butt and like found things.
Yeah, dude. Yes. Speaking of butts, man, you get some Spiner rear end in this movie.
Oh, you get a lot of. I mean, look, we get a ton of Spiner. So Spiner, who was dead,
right?
Is just there's so much Spiner in this movie, and I'm okay with it.
I love Brent Spiner.
I
don't
would
care.
Say he's probably the best part.
It's a bit too much with that character because the character's so over the top. So like realistically, you either need to ground it or like give him less to do.
There's a hilarious part where you kind of realize it's over the top, where like the some assistant or something is giving him this like laser weapon and he's trying to cut this egg open, and he just like looks at the guy and he's like, hey, back off. Yes. And you're just like, this guy wasn't that kind of crazy in the first movie.
He does have my favorite trope in all of movies, which is he's like gets possessed by these aliens and like he's like writing all this stuff and it's
sure
like,
he's beautiful minding that hotel room,
which is only a genius could write on all of the walls. Not some of the walls. All. Oh my God. I went into his room and all of the walls were written.
So if he's beautiful,
there's stuff on every one of the walls.
It was mostly curse words.
But it's Chris, it's all of the walls.
But if he's beautiful mining, maybe his boyfriend is fictional, like in his head, like like Paul Bettany in that movie.
Oh yeah, and they're like Brent Spiner, like what are you doing on the floor? There's no one dead
why
there.
Why are you crying about the death of the floor?
Oh my God, he just walk into his room, he's like, he's humping the air again.
This guy that plays Spiner's, you know, like boyfriend or love interest or whatever, it's definitely, maybe not definitely, do you think, let me put it this way, what are the odds they called Mandy Patinkin? Because look
0%.
At that. Yes, I was going to say that too. But it would make the movie so much better.
It
if
would
he
give
was
the
in
movie
this.
Something.
He would never.
But the weird
thing. You have to know. He would never.
I read on the Tribune, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
That guy is in Independence Day.
What?
No.
Is
apparently,
he like Spiner's assistant?
Yeah, like he's like, I don't know if he has lines or not in the first movie, but he's always kind of crowded around Spiner. So maybe this was going on all through time. You
know, well, they certainly didn't fall in love when he was in the 20-year coma.
Well, they had to really play that shit down because Adam Baldwin was on set. And
right. Yeah, what happened at the internet's toilet, Adam Baldwin, from that first movie?
He's next to Dale Earnhardt, man.
On the moon, right.
No, in this timeline, Dale Earnhardt's car decapitated him before turning into a fireball.
Oh, who could forget Jane Mansfield and Adam Baldwin?
What if that's a thing that they don't tell you, but you had to go to the movie's website? That's why Robert Loggia's character had to retire, because he went crazy and murdered Adam Baldwin's character. Get him! I told him to get him out of there! I'm going to sell these stolen TVs!
Oh, Feech.
You know, Mandy Patinkin should be in this movie, and he should play like a libtard professor that's just like, we just need to give him a chance. Let them, you know? And he's proven wrong in all of his stupid ways.
Prison Planet, not liberal tears. And I never thought I'd have to hear so much about drinking tears and people wanting
we
to
could
drink
all
my
just
tears.
Stop it.
Just that's drink my tears.
I believe
that. You know what? I also didn't think we'd have to hear so much about drinking piss.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Dude,
wow.
Fucking gargles piss.
Well, water sports.
Speaking of water sports, Liam Hemsworth does a Trump on the spaceship there. Right?
Wait, he pisses on his girl?
No, he just pisses on the spaceship.
So the spaceship is Donald.
Oh, yes. Because he's the pissy.
Yeah, he's the pisser. He's a Russian prostitute.
He's the Russian prostitute.
Yeah. Well, I read that as they were just pissing on a bed because Donald was upset that black people had the audacity to sleep on that bed.
Oh, I see.
Listen, he was definitely in that bed. When
oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Get it right in my mouth.
Don't be ridiculous. He likes to rub it over himself. Oh, Lord Almighty. Drinking.
It's like that scene in The Graduate. But it's pee, and it's me in there, and I'm like, wow, what will life after college be like in this underwater aquatic piss
universe? I'm sitting in this piss, and I'm like, am I in over my head? Did I really want this?
Actually, it's like all the shower scenes from American Psycho.
Hello, darkness, my yellow friend. Come to drink of you again.
Well, I love, no matter what happens of that thing, it's going to be his Richard Gere thing. Like, yeah. no matter what, it's always going to be there, whether it's true or not.
Yep.
Nobody cares.
It's just
so
there.
It's kind of a win-win for me. Like,
it is win-win.
When he dies, whenever that is, everyone's going to be like, yeah, we probably drank piss. People like, no, shut up. That was proven to be wrong.
He probably died from drinking too much piss.
Shut up. That was proven to be wrong. I don't know. It's out there now.
Yeah.
Yep. Forever.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So
speaking of drinking piss, it's kind of like watching this movie.
They go on. They're
tart and annoying.
Liam Hemsworth, Damien Hillard or Dylan Hillard, Charlie and his love interest are all going around
right.
on this spaceship. They go, oh, my God. This spaceship has its own ecosystem, which you could chalk up with this spaceship has its own gravity yeah. with the two lines that nobody needed or could care about.
Why would the spaceship have air? Like, why would it be like oxygen?
But there's also like plants and shit all over the place yeah. and like water and whatever.
Vietnam down there.
it is like Vietnam down there.
That would be a better movie if they like got into the alien spaceship and it was just suddenly like a jungle or something, you know, like completely. And they
It'd be great if there was just a little bit more action. Like, fuck,
it's like,
man.
It's like, it turns out it's the silent running ship, and Bruce Dern came back.
Hey, stop pissing on my plants, man. What are you doing?
That's what Liam Hemsworth's like, oh, my parents were killed. I hate these aliens. I'll be the diversion. And he just starts pissing.
Yeah. Like, great.
Okay.
That's
also, you know what? Show it. You want to do it? Show it.
Actually, though, doesn't
show me that ding dong.
You know what? I need cock in movies more. Like,
thank you so much.
Have the balls to show it because it's like. Well, first of all, we need. This doesn't even have female nudity.
No,
it doesn't even.
Sucks that that's like the, you know, that's just the, like the stepping stone.
Uh huh. Yeah.
You're not.
I agree with you.
That was the first one that had like a strip club scene.
That's true. I want skin. I don't care who it is.
I guess so.
Just give it to me.
What about if it was like naked aliens? Like, what if Liam Hemsworth accidentally opened a door and two aliens were like fucking?
I would love it.
Or do they fuck in the suits or outside the suits?
Outside the suits.
Come on.
That's just their astronaut wear, you know?
So they get out of the suit and they start like rubbing their tiny little bodies and their mouthless.
Yeah, they all look like Simon Pegg's little friend in the Star Trek movies.
I don't know though. There's no mouths. That's a big thing. So what's going on? Who's sucking? Nobody's sucking nothing.
But they have mouths, don't
no,
they?
No, that's the weird, the queen has a mouth. We learn later.
Uh-huh.
Which
I bet they're more developed because
they're telepathic.
They got little nostrils, just like holes in their face, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they just like sensually sniff each other's like genital, and it's like that's how they get to edging.
I thought it was going to be like
like they probably skip the edging.
These aliens go straight to coming.
Hold on a second. Do you think that like does one of them lay eggs and one of them like fertilizes it? Is that the type of thing?
And just sprays it on.
Yeah,
them.
Just fucking shoots it.
I thought it was going to be layers. Though.
I thought it was going to be more like slugs, and they just wrap around each other.
That would be cool. And they just sort of like
shooting jelly.
Yeah, they're like digesting together or something. Like they sort of almost become one.
God, please don't ever say shooting jelly ever again.
They shoot jelly at each other.
No, drip jelly, not shoot.
It's a slow drip.
My question remains unanswered. Why did anyone make this movie? Well, that's never going to be answered. Uh-huh. Doesn't Randy Quaid like get caught pissing on something? Is there public urination in that first movie?
Yeah, well, he's just a lout in that first, so he's kind of
drunk.
Oh, I guess, yeah, that's true. You can draw a line from that scene to that scene. That's nice. Russell, what are you pissing on, you idiot?
The toilet's on the other side of the spaceship.
It's okay. It's Donald Trump.
That's my favorite part of that scene, is that he's pissing and the rest of the people are just entertained. Like, we're in the middle of a fucking spaceship and we're about to get killed by the Queen Mother.
I would be pissed off if I was Liam Hemsworth. Hey, I'd be like, hey, I fucking am pissing on this spaceship to distract these aliens so you guys can get to the ship and get out of here.
Yeah. Go.
Stop
go.
Laughing at yeah. it. Just how are, go.
How am I supposed to have tension in this movie after you've just taken a break to watch Liam Hemsworth not piss?
I have a question about Charlie, who's Liam Hemsworth, his plucky sidekick.
His co-orphan?
Yeah. How do plucky sidekicks ever get into all these military positions?
Yeah, you know this kid isn't
he's
fit
so
for the military.
Squirrely and scared. It's like, well, why would you like be a janitor? You wouldn't be like his number two.
Well, at least Harry Connick Jr. is like physically fit.
And like good at his job.
I just assume it's like a Bucky and Steve thing that worked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So they were fucking?
Yes, exactly, as well.
Unlike Bucky and Steve.
Well, but, yeah, it depends on what you're reading.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that Slash is just wonderful.
Is Slash fiction canon?
No, it's not. No, no. I mean, I meant Slash fiction. There's like more Slash fiction. The Bible is very small compared
what?
To the volumes of...
There's Slash fiction in the Bible?
Yes, Moses. And
who's Moses getting busy with?
Everybody, man. His brother,
Noah.
Aaron.
God
had to
make
Aaron.
A list to stop him from doing shit.
Like Steve, you know, Captain America is pushed in there. Wait, yeah, weakling.
That Lot guy, right? He was fucking like daughters.
Oh, he fucked everybody.
Shit,
yeah,
right?
he fucked the salt afterwards too,
like,
man.
Trent Lot? Is that who you're talking about?
No. There's a character. There's a funny character in the Bible named Lot, right? And he's like fucking his kids and shit. Mm-hmm.
What,
dude, man? They all get turned full to salt. Of Slash fiction. It turns out,
dude, man, the Bible is NSFW. Yeah.
Does Lot get turned into salt?
I maybe not. I don't know.
I think maybe his wife does, yeah, right? Like, he's okay.
It's kind of working for him.
It's okay if a guy does it.
So what? So then, like, the aliens come after them, and they, of course, escape
in alien ships. Yes, yeah. And now, great. Like, we talk to the little globe. We find out she's part of a prison planet.
It's true.
She's
also a Syrian refugee planet.
Because like this explanation that this sphere gives is ridiculous.
It is a fucking sphere, man.
Jaw dropping. She's like, "Hi, I'm a sphere. We move beyond bodies." By the way, these aliens, which we don't get names on them, go from planet to planet. They do this, and I'm from a planet of refugees of worlds that they've destroyed, and we're making a resistance army and all this nonsense. And we want to recruit you because you guys are so good at beating them.
Right.
Am I correct there?
Yeah. Yes. And she's giving like a diagram of this thing. So we see like there's another planet somewhere with all sorts of different fucking gleep globs. I think the werewolf bar guy is there.
Finally. Oh, my God. Get him involved.
I mean, this is kind of like if the fucking Starkiller base from Force Awakens was like successful and then they were able to farm it out and sell it to other alien people.
That sounds about
is that
right.
The end game?
I think so, yeah.
Mass produced
Starkiller
base. General Hux is going like planet to planet being like, can I interest you?
He wants to sell that shit on TV like OxyClean, man.
Absolutely.
No planet clean.
Planet killer as seen on hologram.
And then what should we call it? Because Grand Moff Tarkin would be like that guy Billy who died. That they
Billy
always...
Mays here, high as a kite.
But I love that the new guy's like, Billy moved on, but we're still hawking OxyClean.
Oh, man.
Moff Tarkin is dead, but this plan will still work and destroy planets like that.
I'm surprised, actually, that dude did not usurp the ShamWow from the ShamWow
who's
guy.
ShamWow though is that
ShamWow
Krennic?
Guy was a scumbag who like.
No, I know who ShamWow is.
Oh yeah,
right. But he got
Morris
please,
ShamWow.
Expand on his legal troubles though.
Well, he was like being the fucking scumbag and like beat the shit out of his girlfriend or something.
Oh, really? Nonsense like that.
He's got a rap sheet. Maybe.
Yep. And this might be only for East Coast listeners. I'm not sure. Is the general nationwide?
I don't know.
The general auto insurance?
Well, the thing is, Shaquille O'Neal's in it, so I imagine it has to be more than just the East Coast.
Wait, Shaq is in a
Are you fucking out of your mind? You haven't seen this?
No. Did you just hear my reaction? I clearly haven't.
I've never seen you more angry.
I've known about this for years.
Wait, this has been happening for years? Yes, Shaq's in these commercials?
So much so, I even tweeted the picture of them and said squad goals. That's how old it is.
Sorry, I missed that tweet.
Well, you got to catch up. Shaquille O'Neal and the cartoon general are driving all sorts of places in a car together.
What? But
there's a new commercial. This is what I want to bring this up.
Yeah.
Is it's a woman, a sexy lady on a bed on Tinder. And she's like swiping like left or whichever one's the wrong way, the bad way.
Yeah.
She's swiping like no, loser, fat.
No, wait a second.
Oh, hold on.
Fat John Oliver, no.
Gimli Oliver, definitely no. But then she's like, hold on. No. And it's the general, and she swipes like the right way.
Oh, that's
she definitely wants to
so
fuck the general.
Yeah, she wants to fuck the general.
General's short, but he's kind of hot.
Yeah.
You know?
He's sturdy.
Does it look like Mr. Magoo meets Patton?
Yeah,
isn't that the general? He's got a giant mustache.
Yeah,
he's like he's the Monopoly guy's alt-right brother.
I was gonna say he looks kind of like Frank Goldman.
Yeah, he does. I don't know. So whatever, we're all back. So the idea is like, oh, the queen, who we now understand exists, is going to come after this egg. That's what she wants the whole time. I guess she's chasing the egg.
Because if she gets the egg...
Because someone's going to fertilize it, right?
No, I wish.
No, she can kill all the refugees.
If she gets the sphere, inside the sphere is the location of the refugee planet.
Yes.
And if they go and do that, then the aliens will have universal domination. Because they... Whatever.
They make some dupe, so they're like, if we draw her out and get her the wrong place, she'll go and we can like hit her from behind or something.
What they're going to do...
Is that political subtext I smell?
Oh, no.
Oh, because also, so like, I guess the ultimate plan, because they're like, well, we're going to drive this payload. Yeah, we're going to fly the fucking payload in.
Yes.
And this whole thing, and then we're going to blow her up. Jeff Goldblum, like after they decide this is what the plan is, I swear to you, he says, well, it worked the first time. Oh, my God. Like, you're just doing the same thing from the first movie, and you have a character admit you're doing that?
Well, you bought a ticket the first time.
And then Bill Pullman gives his Independence Day speech, like, to a bunch of janitors in, like, a locker room.
Dude, what a different audience. There's, like, four people in this room, and half of them are like, hey, is that guy saying something?
It's amazing, because it's like him and Jeff Goldblum, and it's like, the reason we survived last time is because we're resilient. And if we're resilient, and, like, people are, like, eating lunch. And, like,
some guy's mopping.
They're just like, yeah, you tell him, Fred.
Hey, can you shut up? I'm on the phone.
My beans are cold.
It's such it's a fucking step down from that first speech.
And they open the fucking movie with the speech too.
Sure do.
And then we have another speech later. So Bill Pullman decides to be the Randy Quaid, because like, get me the fuck out of this movie, dude.
Yeah, he's like, I'm pissed off that I had to be in this much of it. Please let me die.
And whatever her name
Monroe,
is. Monroe. Micah Monroe is, not in It Follows anymore, is like, oh, don't do that. By the way, I'm a pilot, too. And it's like, how many pilots could there be?
We're all the pilots.
Like, just, you know what? You had got those fancy UFO choppers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Just make flying cars.
Sure.
And then I could buy people piloting more. Because everyone can't be a pilot.
Ooh, I should pilot more.
I really wish I could pilot more.
Oh, I'm going to take out the tug this morning, okay?
You know, it's just this last year I was on Twitter way too much. This year I am going to pilot more. That's it. January 2017, yep. I'm piloting more.
Young lady, what time is it? Yeah, I do believe it is 11:45. When were you supposed to have the tug home? That's right, 10:30.
So, the last act of this stupid movie, can we all agree we're not going to talk about Jeff Goldblum, about Judd Hirsch and the bus full of kids? Can we just not talk about it?
Oh, the garbage.
Oh, come on.
Now is a perfect time
to discuss.
The Cabbage Patch Kids?
Yeah, the Cabbage Patch Kids are just Randy Quaid's family.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do we not? Why do I feel like the Alex Jones of this fucking episode? Do we not see the parallels?
No, here, no, I agree.
Written
I,
on the wall.
I do agree.
With here, shit. It's written in shit.
Well, here's Ooh. To break it out. I have a note in here that says, oh. cut to pirates.
Oh, no, the pirates! Oh, the pirates! Oh, the treasure-hunting pirates. That pirate has a line where he says there's $2 billion of gold down there.
$100 million.
Oh, is that right?
It's not that much.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he's like, oh, we're going to get all that gold.
No, I don't care if there's an alien driving his ship right up me bum. We're going to get the gold. No, he shifted to gold.
And they're like, oh no, all of these, the whole planet's dead. We're just going to be drinking. And the president calls and like, we need you to watch what these aliens are doing. He's like, I won't do it unless you give me $100 million.
I was just lying about being a double.
And it's so ridiculous because at the end of the movie when so the other thing is like this mothership is drilling into the Earth's core.
Why are we drilling into anything?
Oh man, 4 million degrees or whatever that line is. Yeah. But so when that whole thing is over with and they realize like the planet will live or something, this fucking pirate gets on a shortwave radio and goes, come in, Area 51. Are you kidding me? Come on.
The funny thing is they keep cutting back to during the big dumb climax, they keep cutting back to the pirate ship.
Yeah.
It's getting really close to the Earth's core. Man. Oh, man, we're so close to core breach. And he keeps saying that even at the end of the movie, like, it's right there and then it stops. Like, the world is over anyway, right?
We are edging so close to core breach.
Well, that is...
Oh, I'm getting there.
Oh, this core's gonna breach. Here it comes.
No, my favorite fucking image in the whole thing is him like, oh, we got like 7 hours. We're totally okay.
Oh, right.
And then it goes straight down to 1 hour. And he's like, yeah, we got to finish this fucking movie right now. We got to get out of here right now.
Oh, no. We as pirates and not necessarily scientists fucked up the speed rate. Oh, hello, Area 51. Yeah, we fucked up. This movie's going to end. Everybody going to die now. Can't believe I don't get that gold, that sweet gold. Is there gold in the Earth's core?
Mr. President, could you talk to me about the gold?
Tell me again about the gold.
Well, first of all, it's going to be a golden shower.
That's good.
I'm like a Boo the monkey. I love gold things. I will grab in the Cave of Wonders.
Whatever. So, like,
I can't believe the pirates. Thank you, Kevin. We almost got through this whole episode without the pirates.
Bill Pullman goes into the Queen, sets off the payload, and you're like, oh, the movie's over.
By saying happy 4th of July. Oh, fucking kill me.
Well, he
dead.
Says, on the behalf of the planet Earth, by the way. Yeah, fuck you too, pal.
Well, this shows you that suicide bombing can work.
Yes.
It's a good message. Thank you, Emmerich.
It blows up, and you're like, oh, cool, the movie's over. And at some point, Judd Hirsch has a bus full of fucking white trash kids he's driving around. And
the cast of American Honey is behind.
Oh, my God. That's what I want to see. Judd Hirsch's character from Independence Day running around with all those little miscreants. Oh, Lord, that would be great.
Listen to a lot of rap.
Why are you all hanging out in a parking lot? Get inside. You have to get inside. What are you doing in the parking lot? Get out of here.
Why should
the way,
I?
The bus driver left to go fuck his girlfriend?
Is that what happened?
Yes, one of the little kids is like, he left to go fuck his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, man, those little rascals.
And they meet up with Jeff Goldblum, who has nothing to do in the last hour and a half of this movie.
He's standing behind a piece of metal for most of it.
He's going to push a button. Don't worry. He's going to push a button.
And, you know, I don't know.
Well, his whole, like, Judd Hirsch's whole thing about, like, I always say, when the planet's about to die, the safest place is next to my David. Mm-hmm. Shut up. Shut up.
Why should I sell this magazine? Why should I do that? No.
He is peddling a fucking book about how he saved the world, by the
that
way.
That is the most useless scene. Where is him talking to the geriatrics club.
Yes. Oh,
they should have done a straight-up Ghostbusters 2 homage, and it's Judd Hirsch and Ernie Hudson talking about how they saved the Earth that last time.
Or he goes,
at a kid's birthday party.
Yes, he goes to a little kid's birthday party. But you don't like heroes?
And get a fucking grown ass Jason Reitman to be like, my dad says you guys are frauds. Oh, actually, is it one of the little kids? Doesn't he say something about how he's like, my dad says that your son never went to the space and it's fake or whatever? It's like,
who could care? What?
I mean, also though, it would not be shocking if some fucking dipshit would be like, that whole thing in 96, it was fake. It was all fake.
That was a false flag operation perpetrated by Bill Clinton and Bill Clinton's illegitimate son.
Just like Sandy Hook.
Black Lives Matter pretended that aliens destroyed the world to perpetrate white genocide.
That's true. That's true. They also have, Black Lives Matter have kidnapped multiple people. They're kidnapping people. And they're faking the moon.
Oh, here's the thing. All those aliens, you know where they are. They're in the basement of that pizza place. They're in the basement of that pizza place right now.
It's fake news.
Prisonplanet.pizza. Pretend to put them there.
The alien invasion of 1996 is fake news.
Whole thing right in Podesta's emails. It's all right there.
Julian Assange has told me with confidence... That was fake news. I could corroborate that. And we are not fake news. We're telling the truth. Prisonplanet.tv.wfw.
WFW. Elks Club.
So then we get to the end of the last stage of Metroid, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
When this big stupid queen comes out and you gotta shoot her tail a bunch or whatever.
Dude, and it's so stupid.
She's like really big. And like we're way off the rails here at this point.
This is ridiculous. Why would she be like 50 feet tall? Now we got the attack of the 50-foot woman.
That was in Vegas. That was the desert.
Yeah, I guess, I guess all these broads go to Vegas.
That's stupid.
That's actually probably like the rejected title of like a shitty Dean Martin movie. All these broads go to Vegas.
But there's also like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids gag because he's got to swerve around her feet. In the school bus.
Yeah, he's driving around.
But doesn't that happen like in Attack of the 50-Foot Woman? Which
does
is
it?
What
I haven't seen.
Probably, yeah.
I haven't seen that movie.
Isn't this movie's based on that?
Yeah, you know, it's based on the cap. It was based on the same novel length poem.
Oh, okay, good. Liam Hemsworth comes back from space with everybody else, and they're at this point, Micah Monroe gets in a pilot suit, and she's going to take down the queen somehow with something, and the queen like destroys her. She destroys the queen's shield by shooting it a bunch, and then like
the shield that's like on her suit something.
Because
right?
After she beat the last alien, she got the special bullets.
Oh right,
and now
right,
the special right. bullets can take down the force field.
So whatever, but
silver
like,
bullets.
Then all the alien ships. Instead of laying waste to everyone trying to hurt them, decide to spin around the queen. Like, all these things have laser guns that could destroy everybody else.
Get fighting.
But they just kind of swarm around her to form a field, even though it doesn't make any sense.
Well, there's one point where it's Liam Hemsworth or somebody's like, we got to get out of this tornado. This tornado of alien spacecraft.
The tornado of alien spacecraft. It's a river of slime.
They're just movieing throughout this thing.
Yes.
That's like what this, like, they don't know what they're acting against. They don't know what it is.
Yep. And
nobody knows just, what's going on.
We're just movieing, guys.
Just be thankful they took out the, oh, is that a cow?
Oh, man, if a cow is stuck in this alien ship tornado.
So they break free of the tornado. They're like, oh, we have to do a control dive, and we're going to shoot the queen. And again, these aliens aren't like, oh, they're shooting our queen. They still keep spinning around.
Yeah, it's so
stupid. It just
stupid.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, they're a lemming people.
Yeah. They destroy the queen, and everyone, like, retreats.
And she vomits everywhere, and then they do the fucking windshield gag.
Oh, that's right. They get gacked.
And they, like, just turn
she
it on.
She shoots jelly all over the windshield.
Yeah,
actually,
right. Vomits her jelly
There's
everywhere.
So many other storylines we're not talking about because there's so many stuff.
Yeah, who just, could
oh,
care?
My God, it doesn't
Fuck
matter.
It.
It's at some point when the aliens, like, bomb the shit out of Area 51 that's when Celia Ward and half the U.S. Oh, that's what it is. When William Fichtner becomes Kiefer Sutherland as lone survivor.
Yes, he is.
Because they're like...
Designated survivor.
Hey, by the way... Oh, designated survivor, yeah. They're like, hey, by the way... somehow you're the president. And like William Fichtner's like, I was like 300th on that list. And they're like, no. Yeah, and like, we know.
Celia Ward does a weird, I think, doesn't she say like, die, die, or something?
Yeah.
She mirrors one of the lines from the movie.
Yeah, she, as the aliens are coming in, like they think that she's going to surrender, but she takes a gun. She's like, no, die, and then she gets killed.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, they don't get bombed. It's like the aliens break out of the cages in Area 51 and like, break into her little control room or something.
Something happens.
Yeah. Whatever.
And they kill you.
Yeah. I mean, like, so, like, you know, Brent Spiner's boyfriend dies. That's sad. They're,
like, defending the little sphere.
Floyd and Dikembe become friends. And no, I mean, like, this is and two characters fat, nobody needed.
That's Fat John Oliver.
That's Fat John Oliver.
So everyone knows what's going on.
Well, because he's like supposed to be like the nerdy paper pusher.
Sure. Because this movie needed a nerdy paper pusher.
Oh, totally.
Well, you got to have a nerd. There's a movie. You need like some nerd mucking up the works.
I read the script. It's fine. It rings a little familiar, but... Where's the nerd? I'm sorry. Am I fucking crazy? Where's the fat nerd?
Goldblum is the nerd.
No. Here's a sexy nerd. I'm talking about the fat nerd.
Am I supposed to wipe my ass with this? Because that's what's good use
to. It's a good script. I appreciate the part where he writes on all the walls. That's fine. That's a movie, right? But there should be a nerd.
The ghost of Harvey Fierstein.
Oh, my God. That would be great.
Like, yeah.
How is he not on
How
some sort of wall?
How is he not just alive, right?
Well, yeah, actually, that...
I finally reached my mother before it all blew up, so now I made it.
Actually,
I was
about,
in a coma the whole
turns
time.
Turns out she could teleport me out of here.
I used my mother as a human shield, David. Right after I said, oh, crap, I fell into a manhole. I survived.
But thank God my therapist didn't.
But you know what? At least the fucking first movie had Harvey goddamn Fierstein.
Yeah,
somebody that's funny, like can hold a seat.
Has presence
thank
on
you.
Screen.
I would love 5 Harvey Fiersteins. I would fucking love a Harvey Fierstein multiplicity cast for the rest of the film.
Some of them just keep getting dumber and dumber.
Have him play every role.
Oh, man. And all Harvey Fierstein Independence Day resurgence.
David, tell him.
I would love that. I would love it. I'd love every fucking stupid second I'd waste watching that twice.
The 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, all right? Just stop already with that.
Oh, it would be great. Dear. But I don't know. Like the queen is dead and she has a tongue. And...
I think that was part of that Smith song, and actually cut out the lyrics.
And that we get our favorite line. So the movie's over, and they're like, oh, you know, Brent Spiner's not so sad about his boyfriend. He was for a while, but he's fine now.
Micah Monroe and Liam are going to buy a house.
Where?
Finally. Oh, wait, that is the fucking big horseshit thing where, like, he's getting ready to go in the plane to go fight aliens
to die.
And whatnot.
In this video chat room, right?
Yes. It's like a Skype call he's doing in the middle.
No. At the end of the movie where they're in the hangar together.
It's the first one is in the Skype call.
They're Skyping about buying a house at the beginning of the movie, you're right. And then at the end, like before Pullman fucking scoops him and goes on the suicide mission, it is Liam Hemsworth that's going to do it. And like they both know that, you know, he's not coming back. And he's like, by the way, I looked at those houses. I like the one at the end of the lane. It's a great one to live in America with.
But at the start of the movie, it seems like she's not into it.
No, she's not. We never get whatever that character trait is.
Yeah, we don't. I mean,
whether she's afraid, she's like got cold feet, or she's like cheating on him.
I mean,
or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's their relationship. The whole point is to have two pretty people in the frame at the same time.
Well, she should.
Oh, you bought a house, but it was haunted by Harvey Fierstein.
But she actually ends up buying it with Fat Nerd.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a Fat Nerd happy ending.
You need to have a nerd in the end of the movie. I mean, but so, like, it's all over. And, like,
It's all over.
Brent Spiner's talking to the Sphere, and she's like, oh, you guys are so brave. You guys should come and... You guys should come and to my planet, and I'll teach you guys how to beat these aliens once and for all. And like somebody even says, like, well, we couldn't survive another attack like that, so we might as well.
We got to take the fight to them.
Yeah, and then God. Brent Spiner, who's Andrew? You love this line. You should say it.
Let's kick some alien ass. Credits. Oh yeah. Boy, oh boy.
Dude, this fucking sequel setup is ridiculous.
Dude, I'm saying that Steve and I were talking about it on Twitter. I made it public then. I firmly stand by this statement 100%. No going back. The Andrew Jupin guarantee. Super Mario Brothers has been dethroned as the worst, most fucking audacious sequel setup in film history.
You don't think we're going to see Independence Day Desperation?
No, man.
I don't think so.
Smelling in a theater near you. Yeah, maybe. Direct to sci-fi.
Yeah.
Direct to sci-fi.
Good question. I feel like no, right? This movie didn't make that much money. That was the problem.
It made some, but not as much as they wanted it.
No, we gotta see, here's the factor. We got to see one. I don't have this figure. I don't know how it did overseas. But two, them Blu-ray sales. But her emails. But her Blu-ray sales. Well, if this movie does well on Blu-ray, they might. I mean, because look at the fucking shitty CGI. It's not like they care about the movie looking good.
My guess is that they're going to. Sci-fi is going to get as a series.
Oh.
The Independence Day series.
Well, yeah, then you're doing a reboot.
And then you're doing a reboot, and then you can do the whole fucking first movie again, essentially, yeah. And you have Roland Emmerich fucking direct the first one, and nobody watches.
There you go.
Nobody watches.
But it's on the Sci-Fi channel, so nobody's watching, and yet somehow there's five fucking seasons.
But there's fat nerds.
So many. Fat nerds.
The fat nerds need something to look at too, you know.
Oh boy.
Fuck this movie. How about that?
Fuck it. Fuck this movie.
No, it's useless. And I like the first one. I remember, are we recommending this movie? I'm not. I remember actually getting out of the first movie, and I'm always kind of ashamed of this. In the car ride home after seeing Independence Day, we were talking about whether or not Independence Day was better than Star Wars.
Oh, no.
And I fucking turned coat, man. I was so, my recency bias had clouded my eyes, and I was like, Independence Day, a little better than Star Wars.
Whoa.
Which I regret now.
I'm surprised you didn't immediately turn to sand.
Just set ablaze.
That is something you take to the grave.
Well, now everybody knows it.
Wow.
Can I say, I do have Independence Day story.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So I went to see this at Cross Gates.
Which is a local movie theater where we grew up.
Our big upstate theater.
No, you're talking about the first movie.
The first movie.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Sorry.
So I went to see it on opening day.
Oh, you have to. July 4th, man.
And right, so packed theater.
I think it was July 3rd.
Front row corner, a guy lights up a cigar.
No way. Yeah.
And dude, he starts puffing. He full Cape Fear, just starts puffing at it and is like so happy to be watching Independence Day.
Was it Robert Loggia?
Was it during the scene where they're lighting up cigars in the alien spaceship?
No, it's the beginning of the movie. Like he was like waiting for it to start. And wow. He was so excited about the alien that he fucking lit up a cigar.
Are we sure it's not a blunt?
It's not a blunt.
Oh, jeez.
So then like a dweeby kid comes in to be like, sir, you can't do that.
Yeah, totally. Fat nerd came in.
And then he's like, go away. The kid goes away, comes back with two security guards.
Yeah, of course.
And he's like, okay, I'll put it out. And then they're like, no, you gotta leave. He's like, I'm not fucking leaving. And these two guys have to pick him up and take him out of the theater.
Did they stop the projector?
No.
This is
all happening.
It's being ruined for you.
This is all happening while fucking, you know, Harry Connick Jr. and Will Smith are talking about their cocks or whatever. And
my favorite scene of that movie.
I didn't see the whole scene.
Here's the beginning of that movie. Will Smith tells Harry Connick Jr. that he's bought officially the ugliest piece of jewelry in human history. He pulls out this engagement ring and it's like two dolphins fucking around a fake blue stone.
He's like, you're going to marry a stripper? Come on. Oh, man, you can't marry a stripper.
Hey, man, you can't marry a stripper unless you can play piano like me.
You ain't gonna get a promotion if you marry a stripper.
Oh, that's right.
They don't let you fly in space if you marry strippers, dude.
Yeah, hey, space dude. Is a flat circle.
Sorry. All right. Eric?
No, I hate this movie.
Sure.
I don't like it. And it was hard to sit through, to be honest.
It really was.
I just imagine sitting through it twice.
I'm glad I didn't, and I would not recommend it. I liked the first one enough when it came out.
I rewatched it maybe like 2 years ago, and I totally think it holds up. Like
it's a cool 90s movie.
It's a cool yet cheesy, but it's fine 90s movie.
Yeah.
I'm not recommending this.
No, I mean, of course not.
I said in the last episode I wasn't going to tell this story on the air for the episode, but I realized like we probably have some new listeners, courtesy of HeadGum and whatnot. So I'll tell this story. I was at a screening for this movie, like a professional exhibitor screening, and there was some like honchos from Fox, like, that come in, right? This is like dudes with, suits that they wouldn't allow me to be buried in. I mean, these rich fuckers, right?
Dale Earnhardt suits, they call those.
Yeah, moon caskets. And the guys sit, like, by the way, they sit right directly behind me. We're in a massive Times Square theater that's got like 10 people in it. So thanks a lot, fellas. And the movie, the lights go down, the movie comes up, and it's like the Fox logo and whatnot. And the one suit leans over to the other suit and just goes, "Yeah, this is a real shit show."
Wow. It had to be.
I was like, wow, the company has no confidence behind this
How
movie.
Could they? There's nothing here.
Even somebody who has watched nothing knows this is bad.
But it's just amazing. Like, we had to hear for years about this fucking movie, and like, we're fighting over the script and this, that, and the other thing, and it's like, this was the compromise? This is what you pulled off?
There's an easy way to make this movie. There's such an easier way to make this movie.
Yep.
Just make that movie.
Cut out half the characters, so you've got the fucking money that Will Smith demanded.
Focus on someone.
Yes.
The ground battle.
Make it someone's story.
You did the air battle, ground battle.
It's got to be. You're telling me we had to fight these fuckers for years on Earth, and I don't see a frame of that?
By the way, the ground battle, you could get into some murky territory. Did anyone see Battle Los Angeles?
No, but a lot of the effects from this movie look like they're from Battle Los Angeles.
And by the way, Blacklist script.
Oh, really? Awful movie.
Isn't Aaron Eckhart in that movie?
He is. He's the lead.
Ooh.
And that is fucking trash.
Sexy.
What's better, though? Battle Los Angeles or Independence Day Resurgence?
Battle Los Angeles.
Yes, I'd agree.
Without a doubt.
And I'll say this, too, because it's probably not worth our time to do an episode on it. But when it comes out, since we did an episode on the first one, we should totally check out Moontrap 2. Maybe a little on screen.
I'm into that.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
I wasn't on the first one, so yeah.
I might come over here for a tall glass of water, but we might just enjoy ourselves.
Totally. Guaranteed there's probably some softcore sex scenes in
there
movie.
Has to be.
Already a better movie than
or
this.
Or getting ready for like a shower type thing.
I would get ready for a shower.
That's Independence Day Resurgence, directed by Roland Emmerich. What does that even mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Get ready for a shower.
I'll come over, you'll put the movie on, and I'll get ready for
you
a shower.
But are you going to take a move? Are you going to take a shower, though, or you just get ready for a shower?
I will take the most luxurious golden shower.
Oh, Lord. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or write into the mailbag to get at us. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. What's going on next week? What are we going to do? The worst of 2016 is over with.
There's a lot of buzz about what's happening next week. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of buzz going around the internet about what we're going to do.
The internet's like kind of like a hive mind.
Yeah, it's just, it's getting crazy.
It's like this neurotic hive mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like, who are these people?
Who are this podcast? Yeah, that's B-Movie. We're doing B-Movie next week. Holy shit, can you believe it?
It's a bit of a treat yourself.
Oh, man. I can't wait. I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be excited. Larry Miller is a bee.
Ooh.
Get ready to drink that, honey.
Everybody is a bee.
Most people are bees.
Except for the lady that Jerry Seinfeld bee is trying to fuck, though.
Renee Zellweger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I'm getting excited
now.
It's like
Jerry Maguire level.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
He's going to sting in that, man. Woo.
Ew.
So until next week, when we're finally talking about B-Movie, yay! Woo! I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.